People were asking about the trip, just picking up where we were last time, preaching and teaching in the book of Acts. But as we were worshiping, the Lord just reminded me of this word he gave me some weeks ago about telling old stories. And this is an old story because we used to come to Brazil. And even though there are some people who aren't here, and I know and love to hear this, they just have to, what they get from this. I'll draw a little bit from the book of Acts, where we're at the book of Acts, but I just want to tell you some of the things that God did as a source of encouragement to you. One, if you don't get that part of this microphone, it's not working. If somebody can help Ron do his work, just hang on to it, because I'll need you maybe to fill in some gaps. Of what's happening in the West, we're inching in that direction, but we're really not anywhere near normal yet. And which is so funny because the West thinks we have all the answers to everything. But there's only one answer that really matters, that's the Lord Himself. And so it helps. Next year, I actually hope that we're invited to go back again in September, take a number of you, and let the experience itself influence. So, in light of all that, Craig, give us a prayer.
Well, thank you for your presence here. Lord, I just ask your presence now. Just fill this chapter. Lord, this spring, the anointing word we have. Lord, thank you for your dwelling presence. We ask this.
Amen. from time right now, there's a glory in you, time. There's a mixture going inside of you. There's a real frustration, but there's also a hope and expectation. So just telling these stories, and the scriptures that go with it, I believe God's going to do something in your life today.
Amen.
Alter the course of the history of your soul. This is the place that connects us to where we've been in the book of Acts. If you remember in Psalm 16, it talks about Jesus' abiding life, his life as the Son of Man. It says in Psalm 16 that he set the Lord continually before him. And this is intention to be a person who abided in the Father's presence. But the Acts passage says he was always beholding the Lord in his presence. And we'll talk about that when we get back into the book of Acts. But that's an interesting scripture. Because it doesn't say he was always beholding the Lord's presence. It says he was always beholding the Lord in his presence. His beholding didn't make the presence of the Lord there. It's because he acknowledged that the presence of the Father was constantly with him and in him by the Holy Spirit. He was simply acknowledging that, celebrating that. He wasn't making it so. Faith doesn't make anything so. Faith responds to what is. And so Jesus was constantly responding to the fact that his father's presence and his presentness. When Jesus was walking on the water, and all those guys were afraid of the boat, and Jesus, to calm their fears, he said, "It is I, don't be afraid." And the language there is, "I am." It was a prophetic word to them about his relationship with them in the future. And he was saying, "I am, my presence is here, but I am present to you. I am always present. My presence is always there, and I'm always present to you as your all sufficiency." And I say that to say that's really where our team worked in. They really functioned in that. That was a theme of our walk there. We talked about it among ourselves constantly. We learned from each other every day as we just discussed the reality of the all sufficiency of the one who is present with us and in us at every moment and every point. There's a place in Colossians 3:11 that says that he's all, and he's in all. And that word is not only what we preached, but it's what we walked in, that we were intentional about walking in, is that anything that we face, in the language of the young today, nothing was all that except for Jesus. If any disease was not all that, Jesus was all. That Jesus was all. He was all over anything we confronted. He was all. All is a pretty inclusive word. He was all. He was it. He was the I am. And he was present to us, and his presence was real in us. And that for everything that we had to deal with and face, this one who was all had all sufficiency for everything in every moment that we walked in. And that became the theme that we taught. We went over there intentionally. It's different than Africa. The next trip to Africa will be even more different because we're going to do a conference for clergy for about 3 days before we start ministering to people. Because we want to teach them about abiding in Christ. Because that's God's divine sequence. Our tendency is, and people who live in signs and wonders at all, their tendency is to speak only about signs and wonders, if that's the whole Christian life. But it's the divine outflow. It's true, it's part of Christianity, it's normal, but it is the divine outflow. But to walk into a divine outflow that's continual and authentic, there has to be the divine inflow that you walk in. And the Christ who's all is in all. And so our intention there was because what was going on, there was a conference. And the conference was called The Journey Toward Revival, to Revival. And it was in the first place that we were at, or the main place we were at, was a Thursday night, Friday night, 4-hour thing on Saturday, and then the service on Monday morning. But in between that, and after that, we got there on a Tuesday morning, and that Tuesday morning, I didn't think we were going to be doing anything that day, but we went to sort of a celebration of introduction. And then after that weekend, we went to two other churches. On Sunday night, we went to a large church, and then we had a day off on Monday and spent Tuesday and Wednesday in another place in a different city called Caruaru, Brazil. The first church that we went to, the first place that we spent, Tuesday through Sunday morning, was Holy Trinity in Recife, Brazil. Recife, Brazil, the metroplex is about 4 million people. This is a cathedral, and at the cathedral is the Archbishop of all of Brazil, Paulo Garcia. He's 76 years old. He's one of the most famous ministers and preachers in Brazil. And Holy Trinity is a congregation of 9,500 people. Now, their building will seat about 1,100 people, but they just have lots of services, things that they do. And they were having three things going on at the same time. Garcia, if you come from an Episcopal background, you understand that. A marriage encounter, and his journey towards revival. And when we got there that Tuesday morning, and also Archbishop Garcia is also the primate of all South America. And there are only three archbishops in the CDC, and he's one of them. And so we got there on Tuesday. Again, I didn't think that we were going to be doing anything. But that night, he said, well, I want you to come. All these different groups were meeting, pre-meetings, the leadership, before all these events started taking place. And so we were just supposed to go and say hello to everybody and wave and talk for a couple of minutes. There were four different groups. Well, it took us several hours. Because every time we go into a group, the glory of God would fall and we start ministry. There's one group of ladies, and the Lord just began to minister, set free people free, women free from depression and anxiety. Some had suffered from postpartum depression for years. God set them free. And their testimony as the week went on is they'd be healed from it. One group that we were there with, that were, I forget what thing they were going to be part of, but I just went there and spoke a few minutes, and the Lord said to me, I told them, I said, here's just an appetizer, so you understand what God's going to do. And I just said, there are people who want some knee issues, God wants to heal, and a bunch of people raised their hand, and people got healed like crazy. One of them, who called later in the week, was only there for that one day. She just went came up there and get blessed, didn't know what was going on. But she lived in Rio de Janeiro, which is way, way far away, probably a 5-hour plane ride. Her husband was an Anglican priest, and she called several days later to let Marcia, which is Archbishop Garcia's wife, know that she had come up there with knee issues that she'd had for years, and she'd gotten told. But the cool thing about our meetings were is we were able to preach about abiding in Christ. We're able to teach them that you have in you right now all that He is. He's the all. He's in you. And the all-sufficiency of the all is in you right now. You don't have to ask for certain one of these things. It's in you. You got it. All, you know, that God. One of the things I did during this week, that whole 2 Corinthians 9:8, these last 2 weeks, I just spent a lot of time studying. And I came to a much better understanding of the way it's supposed to be written. In the original language, this is the way it's written. And the God who's all-powerful, God who's all-powerful, abounded all grace to us, past tense, that you always have it, because you abounded. You've got all sufficiency for everything, may abound every good work. And we just talked about the life that Christ lives. All week long, and I can't tell you, that was our first priority. I can't tell you how many people we saw get set free, thousands enter into the life that Christ lives, who had never heard it before. As a matter of fact, there's probably a bunch of young people watching on Ustream right now, so if you are from Brazil, God bless you for what God's doing in your midst. But so many people entered into the life that Jesus lived by really clear transactions. Began to appropriate the grace that's theirs in Christ instead of begging Him for things they already have. How many of us waste our time asking God to give us patience? When patience is part of the grace you've already got in the person of Jesus. What He wants us to do is believe and to step into it. Because what we discover is, again, is that whatever God blesses what He commands. Therefore, He has no problem with commanding anything that He wants in our lives. See, whatever He commands of you, He's already blessed you with. So He has no problem. You don't have to explain yourself to whatever situation He calls you into. He owes you no apology or explanation. He's already blessed you with what's necessary for the thing He's commanded of you. You don't ask for it, you don't have to beg for it, you don't have to plead for it. He's abounded in all grace. Whatever the category is, all grace to you already. He's abounded. Over and above. You have over and above. Over and above already. In Christ, so that you're always having all sufficiency in everything. And then it was just a stunning thing to watch them enter into. And because I'm so grateful for people who move in authentic gifts of the Spirit and signs and wonders, But what's been in my heart for a long time is because that message is what changed our life almost 40 years ago. And so I feel so responsible to deposit what I can, what I understand and am understanding, because you can get healed physically. You can get healed physically and not have your heart like a sea of glass mixed with fire. If you have a heart like a sea of glass mixed with fire, not just peace with God because you're born again, but you're walking in the peace of God, which passes all understanding. You can't explain it. It makes no sense. It's heavenly. It's just remarkable. If you're walking in that, then you're going to be a person of passionate fire. And if you even don't get healed, if you're never healed, you can still know victory and be productive and fruitful. It's not that signs and wonders are important. Healing is important. He's after the whole man. But God has a holy sequence. In the beginning. It's got to be from the inside out. Rivers of water flow from the inside out. Amen?
Amen.
And so to try to keep this in the time frame, to let you know, I'll give you an overview. Thousands. See, when I went there, I'd heard stories about anointed people had been in Brazil, and they were saying they usually see about 50% of the people I pray for get healed, which is amazing, much better than anything you see in the United States. 10-20% in the United States. But when we go to Africa, we see 80-90% of people we pray for get healed. Now we do the best that we can to verify it, but you know, there's limitations. One of the things I love about Randy Clark's ministry, he'll take a zillion people with him, and they have these counters, because they want to give an authentic record to encourage people to move into things of the Spirit. And they can give you a pretty exact number. Well, we were 70. We prayed for thousands of people, so we couldn't give the exact number. We could just give a report of the people who prayed and go, look, everybody I prayed for, we had any kind of pain issues that we knew about got healed. Or maybe it was only two, or this, or that, or the other. So I can just say this to you, that we saw thousands of people get healed. Amen.
Amen.
It wasn't everything I hoped for, because I hoped everybody would get healed. But it far exceeded what I had hoped for and my expectations. It was really close percentage-wise to Africa. And all of us would say to you, it was the most anointed trip we've ever been on. It was just stunning.
Amen.
Thousands, I'm telling you, thousands of people got healed, both in their inner man from things like depression and anxiety, and their physical bodies. One night, Ron, we had a word for shoulders. Gazillion people had shoulder issues. Ron, every person that Ron and his interpreters prayed for got healed. And that would be pretty much our story. There were some people who didn't get healed, some contending for them, but we did see people who God restored their hearing. I prayed for one man. It came towards the end of the first of the week, and I knew there was something different about him and the three people with him. There was something odd about them. But I prayed for him. His name was Jefferson. And as I prayed for Jefferson, he couldn't see or hardly see. By the time I finished praying for him on a scale of 1 to 10, it's an 8. So we just assumed he was going to go ahead and be healed the rest of the way. But we were running out of time. I spent so much time with him, we had a gazillion more people. But I never saw him again the rest of the week. All his other friends with him were weeping and crying because of Jefferson. Sight being restored. But I never saw him again. And I realized what the problem was. And the Lord had shown me that early when I was doing it. I just couldn't see that it was true. I asked the people in the church, and none of them knew who this was. They said, I don't know Jefferson. They had two or three of them. They had AIDS. And he was healed. I said, well, why would God do it? Because he loves them. That's why. He didn't wait for them to get their act together to touch them. Their chance of getting their act together is because he touched them.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? There was one lady in a place called Reconciliation. Reconciliation had about 1,100 people there, and then all these young adults sitting on this hard floor, this marble floor, just wanted to be there. Afterwards, this lady stopped me and we're trying to leave, and leaving the building was not an easy thing to do. Everybody would try to grab and pray, and they would thank you, tell you stories. She lives in Foley, Alabama, so she could hardly speak English. Enough she could only understand. And she had had a stomach issue where she had been in pain for 30 years. And she had severe hearing loss. Her stomach was totally healed, but her hearing was totally restored that one. There was story after story that way. Now it doesn't discourage me about America. It drives me on to go, Jesus is all. I'll tell you one of the things that happened to me. We were on the bus, about a 45-minute drive from where we stayed. We're on the bus, and I knew then because Marcia had told me there were some people who were blind, that you were friends, one in particular. When we're in the bus, I'm feeling intimidated. Oh my gosh, you know, that's a hard one. And the Lord said, I thought I was blind, and not blindness. And I was reminded of the coming out this morning. He said, America and America's unbelief or the lack of desperation is it all. He said, I'm all. And that's when I began to get that vision this morning. He said, I'm a lot more intentional. I start the intentionality. I'm very intentional. And I'm in pursuit of the church in the West. And I will not stop until he's turned and moved into my glory.
Amen.
It's impossible. We were... the smallest group we met with were 500 people. We ministered 10 times in 8 days. We had one day off on a Monday in between, which was good to have that day off. So much shopping. I've traveled long enough now not to be so foolish. It was a day to rest and to speak with the Lord and read and study. A very productive day. One of the things that happened to us is what we normally do. We pray for people. We create these lines. And we would they were so intentional about feeding us. We'd get breakfast, and then they would have lunch. And it was all amazing food, just incredible, just the best thing I've ever had in my life. I exercised the whole time, so I'm the only one who came back from the trip having not gained weight. But I busted and exercised. I knew I was in trouble. And then we got an afternoon snack, which was really like a great meal. And then we got and drove there and had food for us at the church. And then when the service was over with, we had food afterwards. And then we went back to the Garcia house, who gave us cheese and snacks. And then 45 minutes later, at 11:45, we ate dinner. So we usually got to eat our dinner a little after 1. That was the first part of the week. We went to the Karuru. We told them, no dinner. We can't eat any more food. Please. They were so full of hospitality. It was just incredible. One of the neat things that happened was that they gave us interpreters, and most of our interpreters were young. And the interpreters, we saw, if I'm misquoting this, it's not by much, thousands of people get baptized in the Holy Spirit. People told us, we've been praying for this for years in their lives.
Amen.
This is a church alive and worshiping stuff. This whole, where we all went, I said, this is, we've never experienced anything like this before. This team brought a revival in them. Now, they're already doing a revival, but they took like leaps ahead of where we're at. They were just so ready. They'd been fasting and praying, crying out for this for years. Our interpreters would get filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they would be praying, then they would pray the next day, or even that same night, they'd start praying with us. And they were seeing people get healed like crazy. They had never seen it before. People were all over the floor like cordwood, who had never even seen it before. One bishop in Karuru, he's 38 years old, really neat guy, Frederico. Frederico, both nights we were with there in that group, he got a ministry to him. And the second night, he was on the floor for about 45 minutes. And when they finally got him up, he was so drunk in the spirit, he couldn't walk. They just had to sit him in his cathedral chair. Every time they tried to get him up, he couldn't move. About another hour. The Lord transformed his life.
Amen.
His wife got healed several things. The place where we stayed, the Garcias, Archbishop Paulo Garcia, his wife Marcia. Marcia's a wonderful, pragmatic, go-getter kind of person. She had a brace on her wrist. I'm not sure what it was, and she got healed. She has two workers that work in the house and help keep the house and cook. One of them had been there for 4 years, over 4 years, who wasn't born again. And she couldn't do anything to persuade her to give her life to Jesus. And she caused conflict in the household. Paula wanted to get rid of her. Marcia kept begging Paula, don't get rid of her. Maybe she could say. She had some physical issues going on. The team prayed for her. She got healed. When her daughter got healed, she gave her life to Jesus. Just tell everybody to be born again. She said, you notice I haven't been a bad movie yet. It was that way everywhere we went.
Yeah, amen.
It was incredible. And then to watch these interpreters, I had one girl, she's 21 years old, Thais was her name, and she was in line. I asked her if she'd ever been baptized in the Spirit. She said no. She got baptized in the Spirit, hit the floor, watched. She was in pain. Got another thing. She got healed. The transformation of life was stunning. Her mother was with her and some other family members. I got her to come and help me with my interpreter, and she saw people get healed. She prayed for people who would get healed. And just weeping, I go, isn't this fun? She said, it's scary. I said, it's fun, it's scary fun. And this she watched lives get transformed. We had that with all of our teams.
Yeah, amen.
These young adults who just were transformed. And we would ask the question, like, if you've been praying for me, what happened? What are the things? We would do these lives. And we were praying for them 2.5-3 hours and leaving at 11 something at night. That's what was happening. And finally, we got to Saturday. Something occurred to change my schedule. So I had some extra time with the Lord before we went to the church at 2. And the Lord began to speak to me through somebody else, not on the team. I was reading something. And the Lord reminded me, he said, why don't you just start moving words to others? That'll be a lot easier than lining everybody up, and you don't even get to all of them. So we got there, we were taught about abiding in Christ. We gave out these little charts, which I'll give out to you. That's a really cool sort of visual thing about abiding in Christ. And so I just began to give words of knowledge, and people started standing up, and then we'd say, that, if you're getting healed, just do like this. And people started doing like this. And before the 4 hours was over, we talked 2 sessions and ministered, used the little chart. Here's a 1,100 people there. I said, now, how many people have been healed? Just like this. And it was hard to find a place where there wasn't hands going up. It was just incredible. One girl, lady, she's probably in her 30s standing up. I got this word of knowledge. I would write them down before I go in. I said, there's somebody here who's been in an accident. Your hips have never recovered. And they're kind of, you have problem moving with your hips. I said, the one thing I see is that a silver car is involved. This lady stood up. She's shaking all over, weeping. And she could speak enough English, all she could say, I can't believe what's happening. I can't believe what God's doing in my life. She had healed all the anxiety and all the depression as well. Her hips got completely healed. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. Her life was transformed. Yeah. And we saw that stuff happen all over the building. By the time we got to the other day, you go like, now, how many people just got baptized by the Holy Spirit? The whole place almost was like, we were one place. I can't really tell the story. Just tell the record. there were even a place where there was a little resistance. And the Lord just overcame the resistance with the words of God, people get healed in front of us. Now understand again, these are highly educated people who've been educated in Brazil, South America, Europe, and America. So they're not like people who don't know any better, you're just trying to trick them. They're being healed. And the result of friends getting healed, the rest of them would get open in the Spirit. And then they'd spring the whole thing about baptism of the Spirit. Hundreds and every place. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds to baptize the Spirit. They were going after God. They just didn't know that one thing. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds everywhere we went were healed. We tried to think, we would say well over 75%. 80%, maybe more, of the people we prayed for got healed. He was just so faithful. And we knew, we would always tell them, look, we don't have anything to offer that you don't already have. And it's not about us. We just come to you in our weakness and in fear and trembling. But we just want to tell you about Jesus. We want to talk about the fullness of Christ. He lives in you in victory, and wants to live through you in victory, and you. And we got so many people. One of the funnest things is watching, getting these other people involved, and they were praying for people. And they were getting healed. So that we know we left. We had a conversation that pursued us everywhere we went. Talking about what God was doing. Took a video of us, and they were going to leave. pursued us to the hotel. Took a video because they were about to do a bunch of stuff with their youth. They wanted the youth to hear all about what God was doing, and about baptism and spirit, what God was doing through them. And some of the young clergy, God just deposited so much in their life. That Bishop Garcia, hearing him, this great man of God. When Anglicanism, Archbishop. of Canterbury, that Bethany, before they came to the CEC, was the largest Anglican church in the world. He's like tearing up. He talks like Bela Lugosi. Remember Bela Lugosi from Dracula? I'm all three of you. So he called me, Joel, it's my brother. And he said, this is the most amazing thing we've ever seen. This is what we've been crying out for. And here's a 76-year-old man. I just want more. And because of his heart, all the other bishops can't exactly say, no, we don't want more. He's the archbishop. He's their spiritual father. And almost every one of the bishops were sons, spiritual sons, he's raised up over the years. And so they said he had to come back again next year. But I'm just saying to you, of all the things, I'm 62 years old, of all the things I've been a part of, and I love Africa, of all the things I've been a part of, all the services I've ever been in, it was the most annoying thing I've ever experienced in my life. It was just remarkable. Mm-hmm. What God did. And from that place, on that Saturday, using words of knowledge, that's what we did the rest of the time. It was just more expedient, more efficient. We'd give words of knowledge, and then the healing would break out. And we'd make the congregation involved. If you're standing next to them, pray for them. Everybody got involved. We had interpreters involved. They were praying for people who they just got the Spirit. Now they're praying for people and they got healed. The first time I've seen somebody get healed. Much less that they prayed for. So we just, God used this team to infect an entire nation. An entire nation. Because he has such influence. Brian, you got something to add?
Just a couple of real quick things. This was, like Bish said, y'all know I love Africa. I'm passionate about Africa, but I've never seen anything like this that we experienced there. And it was just really awesome. I knew we was going to be really having fun on, it was one of the nights when we went into the little room where all the food was, and we kind of met our interpreters, and I got a second interpreter that night. And then we went into the church during service, and all of a sudden she comes like busting over to where I'm at, and she's like just laughing, and she'd been healed in the room, you know. And she was like, she'd had some kind of shoulder issue, and she was like just crazy that she'd been healed without anybody even praying for her, just being in the presence, you know, of what God was going to do. And then she was an awesome interpreter to got to praying for people, and that, to me, that was the trip for me, Bishop, was that because my passion is not about me doing things because I'm an introvert. And so, I am passionate to get other people to do things. I'm basically a troublemaker at heart. And so I was able to do that so much with other people in the big group. And we had people praying. If I saw someone that wasn't being prayed for, I'd go get the people around them, make them start praying for them, and then just watch God do things and surprise there, and just kind of wreck their lives for a little bit in Christ. And it was just and that to me was what was amazing. And my interpreters were just to see their lives being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. The last place we was at, I had two interpreters, one named Olivia, and she was awesome, just like Miss Olivia is. And then another younger lady that was 21 years old named Sarah, that was still in college to be a dental surgeon. So the last night, I was asking them, you know, like the first night, I said, are y'all going to be back tomorrow night? And she said, no, I've got a class on dental laser surgery. So I didn't think I was going to see her. And so it was probably about 9:15, and we'd been praying. It was about 9:15, and we'd been praying for 30, 45 minutes. And all of a sudden, I see her, and she's like kind of busting down the aisle. And stuff, and that was such a blessing to know that a 21-year-old young woman left a college class at 9:00 at night, and probably drove all the way across town, and fought through traffic and all that kind of stuff that they have there to get there, to pray for people. And the night before, she hadn't even been baptized in the Holy Spirit until Bishop prayed for her. And so that, to me, was some of the most amazing things. Just the healings that was going on after about the second night were like such a normalness to just seeing people healed of so many things. And again, like Bishop said, there's a lot of things I couldn't ask through my interpreters because it was just way too complicated that was going on with people. But on almost everything that was reasonable to ask, that it was like a definite pain, a shoulder, a hand, a headaches, I just asked the interpreters to find out what it was. We prayed for them and then asked them how did they feel. And this was almost 100% of the time. Like you said about the shoulders, the night before had been knees. And this was my two little young lady interpreters. And I was just really praying, Lord, just really encourage them. 100%, and I'm not talking 99%, 100% of everyone that we asked said it was healed of the knee. And then the next night, it was the shoulders. It was the same thing, 100% of the ones that we asked that question, that we could ask the question, they'd say yes. You know, and they would not only say yes, but they'd be like, the typical question, how do you feel? Well, I feel better. And I'd go like, well, can you move your shoulder or your knee? And they'd be going like, and then their eyes would get big and they'd just start rotating their arms or just start lifting their legs and stuff. So it was just amazing. I hate to say this, but go on the next trip because I'm an introvert, so like I don't like crowds. I'm encouraging them, Bishop, even though I don't want to. Because it's an amazing trip. It'll change your life. It really will to see people that hungry for the Lord. The clergy was coming up to me and the people, and saying, y'all have changed my life completely. And you have changed this church's life completely.
Everywhere we went, actually.
Yeah. And so it was just amazing. So
I saw my first lady get out of a wheelchair. She was in her 80s. So when she got out, she didn't exactly spread up and down the aisle. She was in her 80s, probably late 80s. She was in a wheelchair and been there for a while. And Deborah Witt was praying for her. And she just said, well, I'm getting out of this chair. And Deborah said, well, I'm getting out. She got out of the chair, walking up and down the aisle. People were freaking out because they'd known her for so long. Showed up at church the next day without a wheelchair, walked into church. We went aggressively after cancer. We were not there long enough to get the result of test. We think we'll hear a lot more. Archbishop Paulo and Yvonne, one of the priests who kind of helps him a lot of stuff, they were getting calls every day from people calling the next day telling that they were healed. It was just so awesome. Thank you for your letting us go, for letting me go. Thank you for your prayers. And we walked in the glory of God, and we saw the glory of God manifested. And again, literally thousands of people were baptized with the Holy Spirit, and thousands of people were healed. And there's no way to say how many, but I think that's a real fair, honest thing. We try to even guess low. But it was just stunning. It was just stunning. And so we're excited about going again next year. And
Bishop,
we'll see some of them visit us because they come to the States a lot.
Can I add one more thing?
Yes.
That you never say anything about this. Someone said something about the gospel to Bishop. So it was the second night or third night. Anyway, he just, this typical service, but he just had a little gospel presentation and invited anyone to stand up who wanted to receive Christ. And, extremely conservative, 200 people, probably close to 300 or 400 people stood up to receive Christ that one night.
Yeah, that first
and you always, you never talk about that, and that's the most amazing thing.
What excites me so, I'm telling you, thousands of people entered into the life of Christ. We were in a cathedral called Reconciliation on the beach, real close to the beach, small little congregation of 2,600 people. That's where all the young people were on the floor, sitting on the floor, just to be there. And I'm about to preach, because I'm only going to be there one night. I was going to do some different kind of word, because there's no time to explain. And this Bishop Schuler, who was part of the Trinity Cathedral, one of the assistant bishops, said to me, please talk to them about the Christ who lives in them, who has all sufficiency for everything already. He said, we don't know that here. And I said, they don't know it in America either. I got people in my own congregation who don't still get it. It's the most important thing you'll ever learn, next to Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And so I preached that, and so many in that one night just entered in to the life that Jesus lives. And that thing thrills me more than any, that we saw people come into freedom, real freedom, just extraordinary freedom in their own personal life and the real victory. And we gave them some real practical tools to help them walk it out. And so, again, thank you for your prayers. It's an amazing, amazing trip. If you don't think CTK makes a difference on the earth, we're just a little congregation. But this little congregation, Avery gave me this word a few years ago. She said, Bishop, the Lord showed me that CTK is a mega church in the spirit. And you are. All those people in Brazil probably think we're a 2,000-member church. Just because what we carried over there. And all their churches are huge. But don't ever underestimate what God's doing here. Never take it for granted. And go after it. Ron had the word of the Lord. We can't hold back. I can't hold back. I can't. So if you can't, if we won't, you won't be able to stand it around here. We want to be a part of the life that Jesus lives. And what we saw happen over there is much more normal. And we're going to see that more and more here. We're just I'm more intentional than ever before. Because he's more intentional than we could ever imagine. Amen?
Amen.
Things we've prayed for years, guys. We're seeing it happen. We're seeing it happen. All righty, let's stand together. Yeah, yeah. Amen. Amen. Acts ends with 28, but now it's the next chapter, Acts 29. Very quickly, this isn't a time to visit. It's just a time to pass the peace. Peace, Lord, be always with you. Share the sign of God's peace with one another. Testing 1, 2. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Also with you. Some of you also have asked about my new album, because at the Church of Reconciliation, with that girl from Foley, who's from Portugal, healed, I didn't have my stuff. I said, well, let's wear this one. I wore this, and I thought, these doves are on here in the front and back. And I said, you like that? I said, yeah. I said, well, it's yours. And so, also, we'd sing the Sanctus, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord. All their churches sing that song to the Sounds of Silence by Simon and Garfunkel. Da 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 da. And then, but they sing the words, Holy, Holy, Holy. It was cool. We won't do that today, by the way.